Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church Enugu.
Praise the Lord.
You know, I would not have recognized this auditorium. Thank God there were people I recognized waiting outside. Otherwise, what I would have just done is to turn around and start moving all against traffic, trying to identify where I was going. Such a beautiful arrangement that's going on here. Oh, wow. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you seriously this afternoon. First, let me apologize. Oh, please take your seats. First, let me greet Pastor Courage. He came from the far north. You will understand what I'm saying. Because I came from Maiduguri a little over a week ago. And every time you'll introduce me, you say, I came from the far east. So me, I will introduce him today. He came from the far north. Thank you very much. Let's put our hands together for Pastor Courage. Hallelujah. And of course, I must greet my people. Pastor Chisom first, and everybody in the house that I know your name. The Lord bless you abundantly. Amen. And those who I don't know their names, the Lord bless you too. Hallelujah. Please, let me apologize. I won't take much of your time with my apologies. I came later than I was supposed to, and that's because I didn't realize that. I was calling many people, but apparently they were not with their phones. All of them were not returning my calls one after the other. Everybody was telling me the same thing that the first person had told me. By the time I realized what it is, I thought you would adjust the program, actually. Yeah, but when I was informed, was it Tall Reverend that told me that, no, there's no adjustment to another air running. So that's why I'm kind of behind. Please, I know you will forgive me. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. But I also told them that I wouldn't take so much time so that I would allow Pastor Courage, who came from the far. You are half with me always. All right? So I won't take so much time just to share a word with the house briefly. And of course, where I'm going to share from, we're talking about soaring. Is it on this? How do you say again? By the Spirit. Yes, by the Spirit. By the Spirit. By the Spirit. Now, first, let me just start by, explain the meaning of the word Spirit again. The use of the word Spirit in the Scriptures. There are many ways it is used. Of course, the most important way is the Spirit of God. That's the most important way. It's also used to describe the power of God, very important. And then sometimes the angels of God are also called what? Spirits. All right? That it makes his angels spirits and it ministers a flame of fire. Now, what does it mean? Funny enough, one of my best themes. My favorite themes in Christianity is grace, grace, grace. And in my own opinion, this theme is also saying the same thing. Soaring by the power of God, soaring by the Spirit of God, soaring by grace. What is grace? Grace is when you do little and God does much. But that much he's doing is dependent on you fulfilling the little he asked you to do. Grace doesn't mean you sit idly, doing nothing, and suddenly everything is done. No, grace means that God tells you one little thing to do. The little thing you do, when you do it, he does a great thing, making your little appear great. Do you understand? The easiest explanation is all the lights we have in here. I can't calculate the amount of wattage, but if I gave you a hand to be turning a dynamo, all right? You know, like an alternator, to generate this power. You will wear out in the first few minutes. But you are turning the thing, it's looking easy, until they put on the switch. When the power comes, that is, when the drag comes on, the resistance that will hit your hand, you will fall down. You can't turn it with your ordinary human hand for more than a few seconds. However, wherever this power is coming from, let's assume we have a generator we are using. This amount of light, we need diesel. So assume we are using not a very big one, a 15 kVA diesel generator. And it's working. And then you are supposed to put on the power. What's all you have to do? Flip a switch. If you don't flip that switch, there's no power in the hall. Do you get what I'm saying? If you don't flip the switch, there will be no power in the hall. So if I ask you, maybe I ask my brother here, Nduka, if you put on the lights, he will not go and try to make the generator. He will not be the generator. He will identify the switch and press the switch. So he will say, I have put on the light. But let's be honest. Is it the one powering the light? No. All he did was to do what? Flip a switch. That's how grace is. Grace, that's whatever little thing you do to activate if you obey the word of the Lord and he does something which is great, you will seem to have done something, but all you did was to obey and allow the power of God to flow. Do you get my point? And so, as a believer, if you are going to soar by the Spirit, one of the things you will learn is to identify the switch that God has placed in your hands. Many of us don't do that, we don't identify the switch that God has placed in our hands, we spend energy trying to generate power. That way, we are working by our strength. We are working by, as it tells Zerubbabel, not by power, not by might, but by what? The Spirit. What that means is that the Spirit is the one that's generating the power, but you must press the switch. You must press the switch that God has ordained. He has released his own power. But the way he does it is that there's work for us to do. He provides the power, but you must turn on the switch. So if you are going to serve by the Spirit, you go around early in your life, identify the switches that God has placed on your path for you to turn them on at the right time. That switch is turned on, like I said, by obedience. I think this morning this afternoon, I was driving and I was thinking, it was yesterday. I said, people don't realize something. God never blesses disobedience. Never. See, there's no amount of mercy that blesses disobedience. The only thing mercy does is to suspend judgment. But if God wants to bless you, he will give you something to obey. I don't know whether you're getting my point. He will give you some, it's a law of God. He never blesses disobedience. He never blesses. Now, let me, I just want to create, there's disobedience, there's obedience. There's something in the middle, which is neither disobedience nor obedience, in which you are doing nothing, which is technically disobedience anyway. Because the Bible said, whoever is slack in his business is brother to him that destroys. He never blesses that third middle that I just created. He never blesses disobedience. Never. The best that you can get is suspension of judgment. If God is going to bless you, you know what he will do? He will give you something small to obey. It may be small. But usually it's small. You can't do a great thing. But that thing will be revealed to you and you must obey it. You hear what I said? It may be small. And usually it is small. But brethren, if you don't identify it, you'll be on one spot forever. He doesn't bless disobedience. You know that third category we created just now? Which is between obedience and disobedience, which really doesn't exist. Because Jesus said, if you are lukewarm, I will push you to the end of the... Do you understand my point? So, it's either this or the other. But just for the purpose of this discussion this evening, let's assume that middle level exists. God also does not bless that. He doesn't. He has power available to create results in your life and in my life, but always gives you something small to do that will activate that power. Israel was going to take down the walls of Jericho. What was the little thing? Circle the walls. Now, is that work? Is that hard work? Just walk around the city. Just walk around the city. Walk around every day once and go and sit down. On the seventh day, walk around it seven times. At the end of the day, what do? You shout. As for the walls coming down, that's not your business. But if you don't obey the walk around daily for 7 days, to do this seven times on the seventh day, those walls are not coming down. If you read the book, Angels on Assignment, an angel visited the man, Roland Bock, and told him, we're the ones that pushed the walls down. Yeah, and I believe the story. I believe it because, you see, the man said, the angel said that the walls did not crumble, that they pushed it into the ground, that the walls actually sank, apart from the portion that contained the house of Rahab. Then I went and checked my Bible, and the literal Hebrew says, if you read most Bibles, it went down flat. The literal Hebrew says it went down under itself. It went down under itself. But let's not sit on that. The issue that the wall went down, amen? And of course, we know that's very possible. That must have what happened, because if they crumbled, there was no way the soldiers would go each one right ahead of him. But how did they bring the wall down? That's the point I'm making. How did they do it? Obedience. 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 I'm sorry to see this. I see Christians, we create habits of... Now, please, listen to me carefully. We create habits of good things. That is, when I say... No, how do I say it now? There is a good thing. We make it into a habit. Now, listen, which is supposed to be good. Except that our faith is in that habit. Let me see what I'm trying to say. For example, now you wake up in the morning by 5 o'clock to pray. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? No, please, let's be honest. Is it good or bad? You wake up early in the morning, take the scriptures to confess the word of God. Maybe around your house, you come out and walk around your compound every morning. Is that good or bad? Work is supposed to start in your office by 8. You get there by 7:30. Before everybody comes, you decree things over your property. You take command of the day. Is that good or bad? No, brethren, is that good or bad? Should you do any of these things I said? Now, they are good. There's something that happens sometimes. Some people will have so much faith in those things. You know why I'm saying this? When we do these things, fact, listen to this, pay attention. Usually, when God wants to connect the power and release and move you from one level to another, he will give you an instruction that is unique for you at that time, something you must obey. Many people don't do that. They will continue praying 5 a.m. in the morning, declaring the scriptures around their homes, going to their business earlier and declaring, which are all good things.
Except that it's like generating power. When it's time to connect it, usually there is something that God wants. There's a change that God wants somebody to make. You know what? That's one area where you don't find a lot of people obeying what God is saying. Then God now looks like he disappoints people. He doesn't fulfill his word. But he does. He does. Except that the instruction he gave that fellow at that time, sometimes it doesn't fit what he would like to do. But he already has his Christianity planned out. I'm praying daily. For 1 hour, confessing the word of God every day. I go to my office. 30 minutes before everybody comes, I declare the word around the place. So it must produce results. God said, no, you are correct. That's a good thing. But will it produce results? What is the specific instruction you are obeying for today? Usually, it's a way of, it's something about correction. You know, there's an experience I have talking with my wife. There's a young woman, well, we know, let me put it like that. In their house, man of God, they can pray. They can pray. You know what they call pray? They can pray. Every morning, from what I was told, I think it's 12 midnight to 2 a.m. or something like that. Every day in the house, they are praying. But what I noticed, little instructions about life, they don't know how to obey it. Honesty, you understand? Honesty, they don't teach it. But daily, they don't miss those 2 hours of prayer every night. You are raising children, you don't teach them the power of honesty. Tell young children, if you are going to exam, you don't cheat. No, they don't teach that. But that's 12 midnight prayer to 2 a.m., they don't miss it. There's one great man of God, which I can mention his name because he told his story for the whole world to hear. But I just want to put into this message. But if you hear the story, you will know who I'm talking about. One day, his wife abandoned him, took their children, and carried them abroad. And they hadn't seen his children. By the time he was telling the story, in over 15 years. He said from the day he met the woman, from the day they got married, there's never a day she's not praying between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. Never. That's not possible. That she's not praying. No. But all the prayers, like he said, they are fire prayers. Die. Somebody die. Some assault. Scatter. Get up and land the ground. Shoot the enemy. Every day. Brethren, every day. Yet, her marriage broke down so spectacularly. Her husband testified for the whole world. This woman, he said he was the one that caused it. Anyway, please, be very careful when you are setting up problems for yourself later in life. He said he was the one that caused the problem. Anyway, you know why? Because he heard old men say, I cannot have my children in this country. Yeah, old ministers. He was a driver supporting old ministers. Okay, like now, Pastor Corey arrived now. Some of you went to pick him from the airport. Some of you went to pick him this morning to come to church. Somebody took him back. I hope I've not been here since morning. Because I don't put it past these people. They just make you. Do you get what I'm saying? Okay. So as he was driving people around like that, he was doing that kind of work for big men. He mentioned the program. I remember the program. I remember it very well. All right? This was years ago. He said it was a young man that time driving them. And some of these big men that you hear their names, I can never have my children in this country. Because they are great ministers and God gave them resources, all of them ship their children abroad for their wife to go and ship their wives abroad for their wives to go and have kids. Just by the way, right now, America is canceling the visas for everybody that did that 20 years ago. You took a visiting visa and you traveled to the US. You had the baby 15 years ago. As of today, go and apply for visa. They will deny you. Yeah. Not only you and your husband. As of today, that's what they are doing now. People's visas, people have traveled, very rich people, people who are millionaires in dollars. They want to renew their visa. They say, wait, your wife had a baby in America 15 years ago. That's not part of the deal. They cancel her visa and cancel yours. That's a smaller side. Why did I get into that? I don't even know. But this man, he said, he used to hear them say these things. So as a young man, it entered his head. Then when he too got married and his wife became pregnant, he also packaged money and sent her abroad. I think it's 2 or 3 kids. I'm not very sure that they had. 2, I think it's 2. So all 2 of them were born in the U.S. They collected U.S. citizenship. And when she got angry with him, she took the 2 of them. And for that reason, for more than 15 years, he has not cited his kids. I don't even know why I told that whole story. But let's get back to the main thing I was bringing from it. He said there was no day the woman was not praying every day for 2 hours. Please, I feel like telling people. However, there were words of obedience that God kept teaching. She never learned. There were words of obedience that the Lord kept teaching. The woman never learned. So that's what I mean by sometimes we form a habit out of what should be good. Except that we are not learning the obedience of God in the middle of that. You can pray, it's good. But having prayed, what instructions are you obeying? A lot of us will cover disobedience with Christian habits. I don't know whether you get my point. Where's that John? Okay, see you here. We're talking one day. Did you say you shouted on the man? You know the story I want to repeat. You know the story. Why are you... Did you shout on the man? Out of the exasperation. You were not encouraging him. Look, say it. We're in church now. Because an older man, very much older than him, they had a death in the family. They went for burial. The man's father's burial. And they were the man was telling them how things are done in his own place. Okay, I told you Maiduguri. This is the man that is at the point that he got angry with the man that... This is... Now, sometimes when Christians are having problems, we don't know what the issue is. The man insisted on doing everything. And this was a deeper life man. It's not deeper life. Yes. Physically, you know, conservative. Praying, going for evangelism, doing deeper life things. Now, let me explain. If you do TCC things, we know you are not a very serious Christian. Look at Pastor Chisholm. My hair is not covered. She took time to braid it. Her cloth is shining. Leave that in. Look at all the people in the church looking fine. See, if you are doing the deep things, once we see you, no, you're not, you know, we know you're a Christian. We know you are going to heaven. Debbie's looking at me like, are you talking to me? Now, this man was doing all of that. But when it came to a time to distinguish himself in the practices and separate, come out from amongst them and be separate, he refused. He could do all the Christian habits. But when critical moments came in life, he had to follow the culture of his people. He had to follow the culture of his people at critical moments. Brethren, that early morning prayer is good. Those declarations of the word, they are good. But if they don't produce obedience at critical moments in your life, you're not soaring by the Spirit at all. Do you know, many times God seems to fail Christians, his people. People don't realize why. Because they will never know when he brings forth to you the obedience that is necessary. He gives to you as an instruction. Nobody will know. But we'll see your Christian habits. We will see your Christian habits. We'll see the fact that you don't miss church. We'll see how much offering you are giving, if we're allowed to see it. We'll see how much you go out for evangelism. We'll see how much you are witness. We can see them, except that the real things that matter, which at each point in time in somebody's life, is what the Spirit is saying to you. It's always a personal communication. Only a few people will know. So when you expect God to step up, he doesn't. And if you were to reveal to a prophet, the prophet will understand, see this one, he doesn't listen. I've given him instruction concerning this area. And the instructions come at times like this. The word of God is being preached. We are preaching the word of God. Each person hears a word. And let me say, like I was sharing this morning, when God speaks to you like that, for me, my own personal experience, usually I can't even remember exactly what was being preached about, but I know what I heard. And why we don't obey, let me just say this quickly. There's always a reason not to obey. Let me explain. Let me say this, please. Maybe I could take my full time because I've not gone to the scripture I wanted to read. Please, can I just drop this quickly by the side? Some of the things I was meditating about yesterday. Usually when you want to disobey God, there's a reason. Going to the promised land, there are giants out there. There are giants in the land. Don't take bribes. You don't know the school fees these days. There's always a reason. Do this. No. The way the people will look, like Saul. There's always something. Samuel is going. Don't go away. Don't let the people think that. Do you understand my point? Walk with me. Honor me before the people. There's always a reason. Nobody disobeys God for no reason. There's always a conflicting instruction. Don't eat of this tree. Another voice will come and say, eat this tree. If you eat it, you will become wise. You know why I'm saying this? Usually when people want to disobey God, they use those other voices as a reason to disobey God. A man told me something was quite painful for me. Very painful. I'm like that he did that. He had affliction. He had trouble. Then God helped him out. He was delivered. Then he made a vow to the Lord that I will never do this again. No, not an evil thing. It's not as if he did, but it was the way he did business. Okay, let me just call it, all right? Maybe like he said, he's an unbeliever. I'll never have a business dealing with them again, as an example. That's not what he did. It's not what he did. Okay, let me say the way he told me. He said that I'll never borrow money again because that's what got him into trouble. So I'll just say the way he told me. And if he ever gets to hear this, maybe it will help him. No, there was a mistake. He told me that, he said, sir, do you know what happened? He said, so there was a time he needed money. He said, I had to break that vow. Did you hear what I said? What did he say? Because suddenly he needed money. Big businessman. So he needed to go to banks and some people to finance his business. So he said he had to break the vow. You know what he did? He gathered some pastors to come and help him pray, authorizing him to break the vow. Now, if you are like that, let me just tell you ahead of time. First, those pastors don't know anything. If they did, they would not have come with you. They wouldn't have. There's no prayer they can pray. You made that vow before God. If you want to break it, by the way, break it. These people is just a waste of your time. It's your money they came to eat. That's all. The day he told me, pained me, I couldn't tell him. There's a reason why I couldn't tell him anything. I just listened. And my heart grieved. I said, you don't understand. The reason why you needed a vow was because this temptation will come. I don't know whether I get my point. Sorry, I need to step down. I need to step down. You're too far away from me. The reason why that vow was necessary was because this moment will come. If this kind of moment wouldn't come, there wasn't any for the vow. Do you get my point? Now, breaking the vow, That is the very reason you need to break the vow was what the vow was there for.
I don't know whether I get my point.
The reason you want to break it now is the reason why the vow was there. If your husband will do everything that is good and you will never have problems in that house, for better, for worse, for richer, it's not necessary.
My guy, no worry now. Everything will be okay. Do you follow my point?
But for you to stand in the midst of brethren and make a covenant,
it's because a day will come when you have good reasons to break the covenant. Unfortunately, this is the justification many of us have. And we say, God will understand. I've come here today to tell you, he will never understand.
He can't. Why he can't is that, that is the very reason he gave a commandment. If he says, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's good, it's because a day will come, you'll be very hungry. Because if you were not hungry, if you were not desperate, why say, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's good?
I hope you're getting my point.
It is because, like we teach young people, all right, not to cheat in the exam. You should not cheat. I hope nobody here is cheating. Anybody cheating? Thunder fire your paper if you do. All right. See, if you are 100% intelligent, you've read everything, and you can answer all the questions, what is the temptation about cheating? No, are you getting my point? Oh, no, what will be the temptation? Why will you? Why? The reason why we need to teach is because a day will come. You enter an exam hall you didn't prepare for. You read for physics, they brought mathematics. You thought the exam that day would be geography. You enter the hall, it is economics. You've not read it in the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks. You didn't cover a quarter of the curriculum. But please let me say to you today, God does not understand. That is when he's testing you. That's when he's giving you a reason. He's asking you to provoke him by obedience, to release grace in your favor. Because you know that's where I started from. The spirit is never released. The blessing never comes except there is a specific obedience that you are following. And the very reasons why we don't fulfill that obedience is what we give to ourselves as an excuse. And let me say it again this evening. God does not accept the excuse. The pressure, please, I need to sit there. That pressure is the way by which Satan denies you of your inheritance. When Saul was going to lose his throne, please, go and read your Bible well. Samuel says you wait for how many days? 7 days. The seventh day, Samuel had not come. That's not a problem. If Samuel doesn't come, we'll keep waiting. Wait for the eighth day, ninth day. Then the people began to scatter. That was a temptation. That was a temptation. That was a temptation. The people began to scatter. And Samuel had not come as at that time. And it was the seventh day. So he decided to break the rule that separated the priesthood. All right? With instructions that Samuel had given clearly. He went ahead and offered the sacrifice by himself. And Samuel walked in. Let me ask you a question. Was Samuel just coming at that time? I mean, like, was that when he left his house? So if he had waited one more hour, Samuel would have come. Samuel was on the way. Samuel was on the way. But God allowed that temptation to come to the man. So the very excuse he gave was the reason he lost his inheritance. I hope you're getting my point. Listen, no matter how much you pray, brethren, look for points of obedience. You can study your scriptures, but look, what is this word saying to me? When you get that area of obedience, then sit there. Sit there until the word, because like I said, obedience is a sign that you have believed what was said. And listen, I'm going somewhere. When I'm talking about soaring with the on the spirit, right? How did we say it again, please? Soaring by the spirit. I keep mixing with the wings because it's the same thing anyway. When you soar, you're using wings of the spirit, all right? The idea is that you are doing the little that God said, and then he is carrying you on the wings of the spirit. And I said at the beginning, when we use the word spirit, there are many ways it is used, all right, in the script. But I picked three this evening. One, the spirit of God. Two, the power of God. Three, the angels of God. Just pick those three. Like I was teaching this morning, the word of God plans. The duty you have as a Christian is to obey. It's as if my message this evening is on obedience. As a key to allow let me put it this way. With obedience, you spread your wings and allow the wind of the Spirit to carry you up. I think that's a good way to summarize that. With obedience, you are spreading your wings and allowing the wings of the Spirit to carry you up. And like I said, when Satan wants to deny us, you know what he does? He will give you us reasons to disobey. And those excuses, what I'm addressing, those very excuses is the way by which you are closing your wings and the wind of the Spirit is blowing past you and not carrying you up. The bishop that was in Abuja, the big man of God now, your big man of God. We don't call him bishop, but he was the bishop in the meeting. You know what I'm saying? Yes. He says something. Now, brethren, please listen to this. When he said it, many of you have heard me say it before. He said, when people make decisions, they say it's because of the children. He said, they tell lies. A lot of times they say, it's because of the children. He said, they should stop lying. When he said that, I wanted to record. He said, say it again. So that when I go home, I can quote that. It's not me that said it. It's you. And she's a senior man. The one that told that he got born again in 1973. Remember? When he said, all of us checks whether we're wearing pampers or wearing pata at that time. And whether you're zeroing naked and your people are pursuing you. Come back, come back, come back, wear your clothes. He was just talking normally. He said, he got born again in 73.
All of us look at each other. Now, for those of you who can't do arithmetic, I can tell you. If you're born 73, now you'll be 52 years old. It was praise that he got born again in 73. 1973 was when he got born again. Even if you didn't believe the gospel, the moment you hear that, you will give your life to Christ. He now said that, you know, I mean, it's a literally, he doesn't use the title bishop, but he's a bishop. You understand? He had, the church is very, is big somewhere, and they have branches all over the place, including Enugu here. You understand? He said, when people say this, he said they lie. The reason why I abandoned where I believe God kept me is because of the children. I've heard it again and again. Once I was talking to me one day, he said, Pastor Bank, very nice. He was not saying something. He said, these children, he said, is it, all of this is not because of them. I had to keep my, like, you know, I had to hold myself from my sister. Stop lying. It's not because of the children. It's because you have no trust in God. Let's just summarize it like that. It's not because of the children. Because if you had worries about God taking care of the children, you should have been on your knees. And you should have been asking, what are the specific instructions that I need to obey? For example, like I say, I've been saying that again recently. You don't owe your children the best education in the world. That's not the first thing you owe them. The first thing you owe them is faith. For them to know the Lord, to be convinced about the God of your father. That should matter to you more than anything. It should. That should be more important to you more than anything. Don't give them as a reason. Do you get my point? To disobey the will of God. No, because your obedience is blessing their generations. Obeying God is blessing them. You see, it's not you alone that, look, there are things that David, the children of David, descendants did. God will look at them. Now, please, let me just say this like this, that God will scratch his head. He doesn't scratch, I'm just trying to make him human, all right? God will look at them, scratch his head, say, yea, by God, were he not for your father David? Are you see what I'm saying? That is, the children of Amalekites that did this, they are all dead. The children of the Hittites that did this, they are all dead. You are doing the same thing. You should die permanently. You know, there's, I should wipe you out and remove the inheritance, the memory of you. Then I remember your father, David. For that reason, I will just flog you and give you a chance to recover. That is, David's obedience blessed his children. I hope you're getting my point. See, the key to soaring by the Spirit, what does that mean? That, I mean, one of the things I enjoy the most, like creatures that I like to I watch, is birds. You know, the way they, you know, the American Indian, that is Native Americans, they believe you have an animal that's like, who knows what I'm talking about? I'm looking for a word. That's your, like your spirit guide, animal you are attached to. As if they tell me to pick, look, it's the eagle I will pick. There are those who pick snake, I know. Some people pick frog. Thank you very much. They like the way the frog, Me, I like the, not just because of the, of course, I love the scriptures about it. What I really like is the ability to soar. Really, really. See, if I'm taking a flight, all right, ask my wife, I tell her, anytime they say, okay, you know, the way they say, cabin crew, you know, sit down for takeoff. There's a way they say, when they tell you to belt in, the cabin crew can still move around. As long as the captain gives a sign, so all of them will go belt in and get ready. That's part of it I enjoy the most. Only I can pay half of a flight ticket, just to have the pilot take off, then land, then I come down. Really, I enjoy that part. Once the guy gives the full throttle like this, I lean back, close my eyes. If my wife is my sister, let me enjoy this. I close my eyes as the guy, you know, I enjoy that throttle. So it pins you back into your seat and then it takes off. Literally gliding on the wings of the Spirit. It's the wind that's pushing it up. It's the wind that is pushing up. Look, what the pilot is doing is beating against the wind. It's the wind that carries it up. I enjoy it. I stand sometimes, the kingdom world is there, and watch birds. You know, the way they twist their wings, the way they are not flapping. They're just riding. They are riding. No, I saw one video the other day. They're talking about the eagle. That only one bird has a gut to peck the eagle. It stops the eagle. It says the crow. And you know what the eagle does? He said, the eagle just spread his wings, and then flap, spread the wings, and keep flying higher and higher and higher until the crow can't breathe again. You don't get the point? That it goes so high, the crow drops off his back. That doesn't have time to be struggling with it. No, there's no need to struggle. It just flies very high. Then the crow realizes that, I'm choking here. Then it drops. Personally, that's what I like about it. From time, as if I had to be an animal. You know, the Buddhists talk about reincarnation. As if I don't want to be a cockroach. It can be somebody's house. Suddenly they stamp on you. You have to start again. No, all the cockroaches are evil people. You know, like people that stole, that kidnapped, that did bad things in their life. When they are coming back, they are cockroaches. I used to say that if it is me, I said to the Lord, make me a bird. I just have to be a bird. Different types, but I have to be. Why? Because of that ability to soar. They say when the storm is raging, the eagle doesn't run. Just opens his wing fully, and the storm will carry it up high above the storm. I'm looking at you who are below. Beleo, how are you guys doing down there? That's why I say one of my favorite topics in Christianity is grace. What is grace? That every day you learn what God expects you to obey. You obey it, and watch what he will do in your life.
You know, I sat this morning, I was talking with one of our brothers, and we're telling stories of very successful people. Let me talk, there's one he told, he mentioned the name of the fellow. The guy is a Winners member, he's a member of Winners. He showed me the building, he's a fashion person, he does fashion, sells clothes, makes clothes and all of that. He showed me the building that the guy built. Some of you here may know who the guy is. He said, those days when they left school, his friends were all going to, hey, this bank, this oil company, they were going here and there. He said, the guy, I think he went to a bar to do something. When he came back, his friend said, oh boy, how far? He said, no, he thinks he wants to stay with fashion. And he stayed and continued to make clothes for people. This brother was telling me today that when he got knocked out, like, my God, that when he saw the vice president visiting the guy in his office, he said, he don't reach that level. He said, one day, a friend of his, a particular friend, the story they're telling, that one told him that, what are you doing? Ben, come on, let's get you a job. The guy said, no, this is what I want to do. Then the guy was angry with him. So anyway, he's a friend, you forget that. Then they parted ways after some time. They didn't see for a long time. Then this friend wanted to buy clothes. He needed something. So somebody said, why don't you go to that shop? A very nice store there. So he went to this exclusive, nice, beautiful place. He walked in and he saw this old friend. You remember that guy? He said, oh boy, long time. You know, they just greeted each other. I said, what are you doing here? The guy said, I own the place. He said, this guy's jaw literally dropped. He said, yeah, I own the place. Later on, they sat down. You know, they are old friends. They've not seen in a long time. They went to eat. The guy told him, please forgive me for giving you that advice I gave that time. And he said, thank you for not listening to me. Two things he told him. One, forgive me for the advice I gave you that time. And thank you for not listening. Then we began to talk. Then I mentioned one particular man. I won't mention his name now because I just don't want to drop things. Because, you know, we circulate the messages, all right? And he ran for governor in one of these biggest states in Nigeria some time ago. And what was he doing? The same thing this man was doing. He too was dealing in clothes. Being faithful along those lines, one day some people just called him and said, oh boy, this is not how they make money. Come, let's show you. From there, God stepped him up. The richest woman in Nigeria and one of the richest black women on the earth. Exactly what she used to do. Now, some of you be angry. Eh? It's because she knows big people. How are you getting to heaven? Is it because you worked hard? You know big somebody. See, knowing people and God using that one to lift you up is not a sin. It's the way life is. You hear what I said? It's not it. Now, listen to this. We have to balance it. We're not saying go and curry favor. We are not saying go and curry favor. We are saying that when it is time to promote you, it is a king that will send for you and promote you. It's not going to be your labor. That's what we are saying. We are not saying. So when you now keep on saying this, because a lot of people, out of envy and jealousy, they are angry with somebody that God's king has sent for and losing and made him a ruler. He said, look, did I not beat him in school? It's because government is helping him. If it is you that government helped, will you reject it? If any government looks at you and says, man, what you are doing, we think that it will bless the city. They give you 2 billion naira to expand your business. And they give you land you don't have to pay for. And they help you get industrial bank loan to buy machines. And they introduce you to all the big distributors in town. And the governor sent one of his commissioners to go. So everybody looks at you and they are afraid to defraud you. And in just a few years, your business has increased 20-fold. Will you not come here and collect this microphone and be saying, I have a testimony? No. Will you not collect this microphone and say, Pastor, please, I have it. No, this testimony, please. I need to share it. When it's happening to you, it's a testimony. When it's happening to somebody else, it's favoritism. Yeah, that's what happens. So at the table, celebrate for other people. Say, I beat him in school. Look at it. Just because his uncle has to happen to somebody. Please, I hope you are following my point. It has to. So if God does to somebody, just give the Lord thanks. All right? Because if it was you it happened to, you won't let us hear a word though. You bring your whole extended family to come and do Thanksgiving. Malu will be outside. Brethren, dance with me. All of us will be dancing and be worshiping the faithfulness of God. That happened to somebody else now, you are angry. That this country, the problem is that merit is not honored. Merit is not honored. As if you were the finest person when your husband married you. Merit is not honored. As if you were the richest person when your husband married you, when your wife married you. Merit is not honored. Are you the one that got the highest in JAMB when you were admitted? Merit is not honored. People who are better than you are dead. One of the best students I ever taught. I've been teaching Enugu for over 20 years. One of the best students I ever taught. One day I was talking to one of our sisters. The guy came to my office one day, he annoyed me. He said, I should do something. I told my friend, get out. Because he passed a comment about the country that irritated me. I said, small boy, you're talking where your elders are. You're telling me what's wrong with the country. I said, get up and get out of here. So not only this other lady, one of our sisters. I said, I'll just tell him. I said, how is the guy now? He said, mention his name. He said, he's dead. He said, what? He said, he's dead. I said, what happened? He said, somewhere around Asaba, they were Lagos. Something. He fell out of the car in an accident. And he broke his head and died. He's one of the best students I've ever taught in my life. We're talking about being brilliant. Exceedingly brilliant. He's dead. You failed WAEC, you failed JAMB, you are still alive. And you are telling me that the boy in Nigeria that they don't recognize merit. If we did merit, you'll have died like 6 years before that guy because he passed more than you. What is ordinary job? We are talking about being alive, you're talking about ordinary work. You failed, you are alive. He passed, he died. Let me tell you, this life not balanced. No, I'm being honest with you, there's no merit. You get my point? You know what the Bible says? God takes the lowliest and puts them in charge. When he finds them faithful, he knows what he's checking. What I'm saying so is that, see,
We're taking lessons from the fig tree. Some of the richest people you see in this country, they were not the hardest working. They didn't choose the biggest careers. I told you stories. Now, how many have I told you? One, two, yes. It is first story. Yeah, three. The woman that's the richest, she used to do. She didn't go to start making clothes because of rich people. She was making clothes until they found her work good, and then they became friends. And then when big things happened, they added her to the list of people that are experiencing big things. But I like to tell those stories that nobody plans. You don't know the path God wants to use to carry to where you are going. People have left Enugu to go and do ministry in Lagos. They ran back with their tail between their legs. I've seen a lot of foolishness. A lot of foolishness. I will preach it, I beg. Whoever wants to vex you, vex. You see a pastor, they give him church in a place like Enugu. It's pastor, you know. Maybe 100 people in the church. Every, you know. People are not looking for work. They are looking for money. If you are looking for work, may them give you church to pastor, preach twice a week. Just two times. Just two times a week. That's when you know, say, you work day. The other day, the pastor came to you. We were talking. He said, "Oga, I'm looking forward to December. I don't tire." Is that possible? He said, "Pastor, I don't tire." He said, "He's casting what they call it services." I said, "No. It's a church. You can't cast services." I said, "You cannot. Even if you will not preach, church must open." He looking at me like, "Ha!" I'm sure you'll come and see. He said, "I don't work." I said, "Very good for you." I was laughing at him. Where I'm going is that there are people who have church like that, you know, and somebody now said that they want to do ministry. They will now pack shop and run to Lagos. Why? Because the offering in Enugu is more like that of the offering in Lagos. See, Lagos is not Nigeria. You should know that. Let's get that clear, all right? There are three regions in Nigeria. Northern Nigeria, Southern Nigeria, and Lagos. They are not in Nigeria at all. Yeah. The way people go abroad, people run to Lagos. A lot of times people think that is... No, ministers have said that to me many times. Many times they said it to me. I mean, I'm remembering that one, two. Who told me that, no, they need to go and open a branch in Lagos because that is how the ministry will move forward. So the Lagos branch has to be sending them money. Friend of mine, I was talking with him. I said, "This Lagos, what is it?" He said, "That's where you will find people that will support you." And I felt like, I said, "Sir, I'm doing ministry too. I'm not going to Lagos. And I can assure you, God has sent people to support me." He said, "You call a bird of prey from the east and a man of his purpose from a distant country." You don't have to go to where the man of his purpose is. God will call them to come. He will call them to come. Again and again, I've seen these people frustrated. I have. And I feel like I could have told you, don't go this way. Sometimes people strike. See, I'm sorry. I see them online struggling to do ministry. And I feel like you're struggling. I know the door opened for you. Somebody told you that it's when you get abroad, that is where your life will balance. And now they're sweating to do ministry. When ministry was... The only problem is that you didn't have money. And money and ministry are not the same thing. Money and work, they are not the same thing. The important thing about life is for you to be useful. For people to need something and they remember you. That's what matters in life. If you want money, you pray to God for it. I've not done the calculation in my head in a long time. But there was a time I told people, as of all the things I did, where I spent most of my energy was where I got the least. That is, if I have $10,000 to spend, the fellow taking most of my energy was giving $1,000. The people that did not take my energy, they were giving $9,000. There was a time I used to teach. I was a part-time lecturer at Newe, all right, in Nnamdi Azikiwe University. And the way I started teaching there was very funny. The old man who was there said, "Please, I need help." I said, "Oh, guys, too far. I can't go there." Let me make long story short. He said, he calls me Bankole. He said, "Bankole, you're not making my life easy." Because he had a crisis he was dealing with. So he needed somebody, all right, to just give them the name. Say, one man was usurping something. So he needed them to the university to drive that man away. But the argument they were giving me was that, look, nobody else is doing it. So he said he needed my name just to give to them. Say, "Please, somebody else will do it. Kick this man out. That what the man is doing was not right." She said to me, "Say, you're not making my life easier." I said, "But sir, it's fun now." You know, that kind of thing. I wasn't. "It's okay. Think about it. Meanwhile, let me have your CV." So the way I was raised is an old man. You cannot be doing a buju for old man. So I said, "Okay, sir." I gave him the CV. So when they came back, "See, this is an appointment letter. So why are you thinking about it?" So that is how, that's how I started teaching at Newe. That day. So I not to myself, "Sir, it's a great distance. Look at the amount of money they said they will pay a salary." I know it was long ago, but it was 20,000 naira a month. Yes. Somebody shouted, "Eh, yes. A month, yeah. 10 minutes to drive to Newe." Yeah. I said, "Sir, no, it's not possible. I was driving a 300E V-boot. It can't fuel it if I go twice a month." He said, "What they will do is that he took him to the registrar. The registrar made it clear that is the way it is. The hospital now said that, okay, whether I can offer some services to the hospital, that they will use that as an excuse to pay me extra money." I still remember the man saying it in my mind, "Sir, it looked like I don't have plans for long life." Apparently, in your eyes, you don't look. Maybe you think
I do not plan to live long. I'm complaining about this one. Says you add to it so they can pay. No, I said, don't pay anything at all. I'm going to where I'm coming from. Ah, Reverend Yinka, you don't know. You drove me to that place many times. The current Attorney General of Enugu State drove me to go and teach many times. I guess, Slayo, I beg. I need to go and teach at Newe. Ah, okay, let's go. You enter inside car. We will drive going Newe. Do you know, brother, I did this for years. You know what I'm telling you, sorry. One day, little by little, listen to what happened to me. Little by little, then initially I was doing almost all the work. The man was a bit of an elderly person. So I did his work and mine, the teaching work. So the two of us. Little by little, they were employing new people. New people were graduating, you know, qualifying. They were adding. The work I was in kept on dropping and dropping. Then little by little, the money they were paying kept on increasing, little by little, over the time. Until a time came, I was paid monthly, all right? For 8 months, I didn't step there once. No, I wasn't negligent. What happened? I was supposed to travel abroad for a short period. So I ran down. I ran there quickly, did some of my lectures. And one of the people they had added, I called him. It was my junior when we were in Lagos. I said, look, Vic, please do me a favor. I'm traveling, taking my lecture. He said, no problem. When I returned, they were on break. When school restarted, it was just before Christmas. Make it long story. By the time I stepped there again, I had not gone there since June. I think it was sometime in February or January or February. And the guy is paid every month. There was a time I bought a car. I was paying for the car monthly. It was their money I was using to pay for the car. And I think that, so I gave 40% of the cost of the car, I gave to them. As these guys paid me, I was giving them the money for a whole year. The time I worked, they didn't pay. The time they started paying, I wasn't working. That was the story I'm telling you. The time I was walking like I was going to die, one day I ran into one heavy flood that covered my car at Oka inside the rain. The car managed to limp back to Enugu. They stayed with the mechanic for some days. The money they were paying couldn't cover it. Do you know the day they were going to pay me back, I didn't even realize. They didn't know. And as I started paying, I was no longer walking. I just said, hey, okay, what's going on? Yeah, sir. On the final day, and then, of course, when the crisis was going to end, we start. God saw the crisis along that road coming up, the IPOB crisis. So it made the whole thing stop. So I stopped going there about a year or two before the crisis began. No one told the whole story. See, you cannot plot how God will carry you up. You can't. Where you are laboring the most now, it may be where you will get the least. But that may be the place where God is setting you up for something that is great later. The key to swearing on the wings of the Spirit is obedience in those little things. It's not the one you have planned. Like I said, you give him somebody, church to pastor. Next thing, he don't disappear. And look, to go and do what? Now be struggling, say, okay, join me on my YouTube channel. I'm looking at you. See, yeah, I'm sorry. You had a whole pulpit channel where people were coming to. Then you want me to join you on your YouTube channel now? Why? And one brother called me. He was one of those people. I said, pastor, maybe on his channel. He wanted me to come on his channel so that let's discuss scripture. Me, on your channel. I'm not too big for channels. Just that I know the main channel that when you had it, didn't remember me, number one. Number two, you abandoned it. Then I will now join you to be struggling to create a channel that's not going anywhere. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I said it like that. Father God, I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry, but I'm just going to take something to your people. You know, I call it an Edomite spirit. You know what happens? You despise the thing that God... You know, like I said, people say there's open door for ministry. Go to a secondary school. There's open door for ministry. What you are looking for is an honorarium. If you want to preach the word of God, go to this. You know, the one telling me the other day about somewhere where, yeah, not only will they not give you money, they'll collect the little you have. But one thing is sure, they will hear the word of God. One thing is sure, you will see lives being transformed by the sacrifice you made. Please let me add that one to it. First, I've explained the key to soaring on the wings of the Spirit is obedience. That obedience does not have to be in what you think will be great. It can be in what looks small to you now. You can't decide when God will repay you. No, you can't. You can't. You are not the one that will decide when God will pay. You are in the house of labor. And your name is Jacob. You'll be there for a long time sweating. The day God wants to pay you, he will come, alter things, even labor, his mouth will open. That how did this happen under my watch? Talk about the head of my spirit. God opens the door for you. Remember, one of your guys, that your bro. No. He's your neighbor in that Benin. No, man of God, don't deny this man now. He opened church. Some men of God helped him. He came one day and said, this is not the vision he saw. I see the vision you saw will happen in 1 year. And that one, he had not reached a year. Yeah. He said, this is not what he saw. That guy came to look after. That was, he didn't know we know who he was talking about. Although he told us, some of us may know who he's talking about. So the guy said, this is not the vision he saw. He packed the church and closed it. I moved to Lagos. And scandal scattered the one he had inside in Lagos. After a while, that one, he sold it. Yeah, he sold the church. RCCG, they are very powerful. They buy churches that are failing. They buy. Redeem people. You don't know them. See, if you inside a church and it's not working again, you are owing the bank, sell it to them. They will pay now. What are you saying?
Then when they got to say, start calling himself apostle. Let me not call the name that God that he gave himself so he won't guess who it is. He said, okay, I'm now calling the apostle breakthrough. Going around, Lord, no, I just want to explain something. Going around telling lies and says the key to breakthrough. Anytime I see that when he's preaching, I just look and say, okay, God gave you a door, open it nicely somewhere. You say it's not, now you are running up and down. The other day I saw a flyer where they went and they said, like the return of the king, something like that. I said, bro, forget this thing. I remember when God opened the door, it was not the kind of thing, you know, you want, you know, everybody wants to be bishop with Depo overnight. Everybody wants to be Paul and Ninja. Let me just prophesy to you, not everybody will be Paul and Ninja. You say, well, Pastor, is that prophecy? A lot of people don't know. And you will see success in what God called you to do. But you know, you may not build a 100,000 seat auditorium. That's one problem we have. We despise little things. We despise little things. The little way by which God is using you to reach people, bless people, it looks small to you. You start, now that's the point I'm getting to. You now start trying to create your own way. Listen, let me summarize everything I've said so far. The scripture I wanted to read from Isaiah 37. We'll read it next year. The Lord is good. Like I said, I'm not going to spend all the time because I came late, so let me be the one to pay for the time I didn't get here on time, all right? But the summary of what I'm saying is that, brethren, when we're talking about the winds of the Spirit, soaring by the Spirit, what it means is that let God be the one to lift you up, not your energy. Let me repeat this. I've been teaching again and again for Christians to understand. There are three keys. You can read it from Luke chapter 16. There are three keys to progress and promotion for believers. Three. Jesus taught us, I'm quoting him verbatim, all right? You can read from Luke chapter 16. He said, number one, faithfulness in little. It may look small, be faithful there. Is it on the screen? You don't put anything on the screen unless I say you do. You are distracting my audience. Who's that one? Where is Velo? Where is he? You are behind that place. Abe, off with the screen. God bless you. Unless I ask for it. I prefer that one. I like this picture, by the way. It's a nice picture. People see, they believe I'm very handsome. So I wish I could recreate that every time I want to smile for photo. So keep that one there. Thank you. If I need the scripture, I'll tell you to put there. Well, just my reason is that people will start reading, they'll stop listening to me. That's just the reason, okay? If you put it there when all of us are supposed to read it together, all right? But three things he said. Number one, faithfulness in little, faithfulness in the use of money, and faithfulness in that which belongs to somebody else. Those are the three keys for a believer. Let me tell you what it means to soar by the Spirit. It means as you're obeying God habitually in these little things, as you're obeying God in the things that he revealed to you personally per time, then the wing, the Spirit will blow. And that obedience is you spreading out your wings. They will carry it to a height that you did not know was possible. And let me say it, many times not even what you predicted. I pray we'll understand it. See, there's something that Jesus said. He keeps you somewhere. One day he's going to come. If he doesn't find you there, there's a question he will ask. Where are you? Where are you? And when you answer him from somewhere far, what will you say to him? I'm so sorry, so please. What's the next question you ask? What are you doing there? And many times the answer we're able to give is an answer of disobedience. I realize that the future looks bleak. I needed to go and make an arrangement by my own energy. That is, where you kept me, I realized that you are not going to take care of. A man told me that. I told him, I said, I think you should take it easy. I said, God will take care of you. He laughed. Man of God, somebody laughed. No, he didn't laugh when he was talking to me. When he was referring to it, like, God will take care of me. Nah, but let me take care of myself. Yeah, people do that. See, the way this life is, you have to choose one. If you want to take care of yourself, see, people sometimes say, well, which one is the will of God? The will of God is never hard to know. I'm being honest with you. Because each time you miss the will of God, brethren, you will know the moment you missed it. You will. You will. You know why? There is something that is right, that you know is right to do, that you will do the opposite. If anybody listening to me today, and that is in your mind, fall back there in your heart and go and repent. The will of God is really easy to know. You know why? Because the moment that you want to miss it, you will see the word of disobedience you followed. It's really things like, I want to be wise. I want to be... When Israel missed God, what happened? Want to be like... Let's be like the other nations. That was when they missed the plan of God for that whole generation. What I'm saying is that either the Spirit is going to carry you or you will carry yourself. Fact, it's really very difficult. One of the most difficult things for Christians is to wait for the Spirit to come.
Yes.
That's what the Bible says, until the Spirit is poured out. That period, Jesus had to pull their ears. You know what he said? Tarry in, where? In Jerusalem. Until. Let me tell you the time the until will happen. Please, let me tell this story and I end the message. Because like I said, let me be the one to pay for the time for my comedy. I know you gave me more time, but between Nduka and Yinka, they did not arrange for me to get here on time. Let me blame somebody else at least. I've been taking the blame all by myself since. Let me look for... And Odechukwu, yeah, there are three people that I called. They didn't answer their call immediately. Mm-hmm. Let me tell this story quickly, all right, so that you will know. There's a principle. The Bible says that, how did he say it now? He said, when the crop permits, he said, the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man puts in the ground, right? Now, Amplified says, day by day, he goes to sleep and he wakes up. Then the earth by itself produces. The earth by itself produces. First the ear, then first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. He now said, when the crop permits, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. And that word, when the crop permits, is what God helped me with. I learned it long ago. What does it mean when the crop permits? You will see when a little effort will you yield great results. There's a time that you will pray, sow seed, kick door, yama, the door no go happen. You put in a lot of energy. Let's use 1 unit of energy, you get 2 units of results. A time will come, that prayer is just,
Father, I thank you.
This is what I did. You're just waking up.
Father, I thank you.
That's the whole prayer. Be open. That's all you say. Not, I open you. I force you open. In the night. No, just be open. You put in 1 unit of energy, then 1,000 units of result rains on you. You have to dodge so it doesn't crush you. It's called the crop permitting. Do you get my point? It's called the crop permitting. That you see it. The same effort you put in before, now it is 1,000-fold results compared to the other time. Yes. Now, the major challenge for people is to wait till the crop permits. So when the crop doesn't permit early, they start stoning the fruit, commanding the fruit, forcing the fruit to come. Fruit that is ready. You've harvested before now. Have you ever stoned mango? Who has stoned mango here? You ladies, put down your hand, but... Olori, you too stole mango. So you knew this man even before you married him. Because he's the one that must have, in the spirit, taught you to be stoning mango. But you stole mango before. That's not ripe. How many fell down? They're not going to fall now. If you stone, they finally fall with the stalk. That one, you are still stubborn. But the one that is ready... When you blow on it, it will fall into your hands. That's when you know that the spirit has caused increase. Do you get my point? But my message, until that time, occupy till it comes. Bow down your head. That's just the Father will thank you. Like I said, let me not take too much time so that our minister from the far north, we have time. Let's just say, Father, thank you. Let me just take a moment, all right? Just ask God, say, in your mind, play it back. Father God, did I disobey here? I'm sorry. Lead me again. Then somebody needs to ask God, what is the word of obedience I'm supposed to obey at this particular point in time? There's a word you are supposed to obey. There's a word that you are supposed to obey.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.